T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
Okay, well, more good news. I get so sick of this good news. It's just so boring to be doing good news all the time. Home values rise at fastest pace in 12 years.
That's good if you're selling.
Yeah, so up they go. Yeah, there's parts of Greenville County where, you know, certain school districts, you're seeing like 5% increase a year. You can't even get a CD to do that.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's unbelievable. All right. Anyway, still shaking my head over this. President says to the Department of Injustice and the FBI, calls him to the White House late in the weekend and says, okay, y'all, knock it off. When Congress subpoenas you, you answer to Congress. Congress created your darn agencies and they can destroy them if they would like with a vote. You answer to Congress, turn this stuff over. And so they were supposed to turn it over yesterday to Devin Nunes and Trey Gowdy, who went to the meeting and didn't get anything. These are documents, Lee, they have every right to see. They have oversight capacity. These guys have the classified, statuses to see this stuff. And they didn't get him.
Well, I guess that explains why there was no leaks yesterday.
Yeah, because it's just the FBI and the DOJ are just not playing ball.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, 3 FBI investigation agents are set to testify, including the lead investigator in the Clinton email probe, who quit in protest over the sham investigation. That ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
And here's another interesting thing that's going on. There are agents with this. This is what I wonder about the FBI for a long time. How deep does the corruption go? And my guess is pretty deep since, you look at they had what, Filegate in 1996? Where, right. This guy's, the FBI has been doing the Clinton's opposition research since at least 1996. Illegally, I might add. When they found all those files at the White House that the FBI was keeping on people, Clinton's political enemies, that they weren't even supposed to be keeping the files, but they were. So this idea that you go into a campaign or into people's offices or whatever and spy on them, this is total standard operating procedure for the FBI and has been since at least 1996. Well, those leaders were the ones doing the hiring since 96. If you think about it, you think they're going to hire honest people who just love their country? Oh, heck no. Are you kidding me? Those kind of people are a detriment. So there are FBI agents right now, according to the Daily Caller, who are waiting to testify about the gross and vast corruption inside the FBI. But they say they need Congress to issue them subpoenas so they can reveal the Bureau's dirt. That protects them. They say that means Congress would have to pay their legal fees and protects them from agency retribution. The subpoena is preferred. Because when you are subpoenaed, Congress then pays for your legal counsel, and the subpoena protects the agent from organizational retaliation. They're on their own as whistleblowers. They get no legal protection, and they will be there will be organized retaliation against them.
Gee, that sort of puts a damper on the whistleblowers, doesn't it?
Yep. These whistleblowers are going through two attorneys you see a lot on Fox News, Victoria Hounsing and her husband, Joe DiGenova. And they say the special agent of alleged rank that and file that want, these agents that want, they're fed up, they want to testify to Congress and tell them what's really going on. And they want to see, Comey prosecuted, they want to see McCabe prosecuted. But here's what they say. The administrations are so politicized that anytime a special agent comes forward as a whistleblower, they can expect to be thrown under the bus by the leadership. Listen to this. Go against the Muslim Brotherhood, you're crushed. Go against the Clintons, you're crushed. The FBI has long been politicized to the detriment of national security and law enforcement. The former, officials say that the Bureau, the problems of the Bureau go beyond just Andrew McCabe and Comey. And that it's, they're casting too narrow a net over just those two guys. There's a much broader corruption that has seeped into the seventh floor at the Bureau. Apparently, it's pretty massive.
Well, not surprised.
So they say that they are, they're just waiting for Congress to subpoena that.
So, like, that's going to make a difference.
Well, see, here's part of the problem, though. There are currently 33 requests from Congress to the FBI, the DOJ, or both. One of those requests is just the names of all the FBI agents who were involved in the FISA process, all the FBI agents who were involved in Hillary investigation. So you can't, issue them a subpoena or even, request records relating to them, like, say, all their emails or something like that, all their texts or whatever, unless you have their names. You don't know who, you don't know who the targets are.
Right.
And so the FBI won't even turn over the names of the people who did this stuff.
Can't tell the players without a program.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just at local police department level. I mean, if we called up there today and we asked, like, who are the officers who investigated, XYZ murder investigation? We can't tell you that. Yeah, you can. It's public information.
Yeah.
They had to have taken the report. Their names are on the report. No, we're not going to tell you.
I mean, we get that information every day here.
Yeah.
From every single law enforcement agency. Well, I'll put it this way. Most of the counties send us a report every day, a daily media report they send out, and it gives you the names of the investigating officer and those who are charged with various crimes. Every day. Every day.
Yeah. And that's how it is in local America, where this place is still something kind of like America.
Right.
But in D.C., no way.
Where public law enforcement officers give the information that the public should have to the public.
Radical concept.
Yeah.
I know.
Amazing.
It's, at CNN, they call that obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Listen to this. A man accused of supplying firearms and silencers to serial killer Todd mm-hmm. Kohlhepp has pleaded guilty to yeah. all 36 counts of federal gun charges. Mm-hmm. Dustin Lawson, 32, was accused of purchasing firearms and silencers from area retailers for the purpose of supplying them to Kohlhepp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, he's... All right. So, and Kohlhepp then shot at least 7 people. Okay. This guy is looking at potentially a decade on each charge. It's called straw buying.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who doesn't have a record. Kohlhepp is a racist. He may be a racist. He's a rapist.
Yeah.
He's a convicted rapist.
That R word.
Yeah. And he's probably a racist, too, because he's evil. Anyway, Lawson was charged with 36 counts. And anyway, so they're prosecuting him. Okay. Wow. Okay. Making a false statement to purchase the firearm, conviction carries a penalty of up to 10 years in prison or a fine of $250,000 and 3 years probation. Okay. So he's got a ton of these charges. So, I mean, this guy could go to prison for life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to solve the gun problem in this country? A lot of these guns on the streets are bought by straw buyers.
Right.
And if we have penalties that tough, start using them.
Yeah.
I mean, why is it that we're not reading about more of these? And remember during the Obama administration, because this is a federal crime.
Right.
They prosecuted almost nobody for using a straw buyer, which is using someone without a record to go buy your gun for you. So, where are we here? You have to supply guns for a serial killer before we'll go after you? And you remember why the Justice Department said they didn't go after them? They said it was because of race, because too high of a percentage of the people they would have to prosecute were black. They weren't willing to do it. Meanwhile, who is killing the most black people in America? Other black people mm-hmm. with illegally purchased guns. And yet somehow this policy is not called racist. It's unbelievable. I'm so glad to see. I mean, you never see this. Anybody prosecuted for straw buying, you never see it. Yeah. I mean, if we started making examples of people, we could really end a lot of that problem.
If we would
problem.
Just enforce the laws that are on the books right now, the vast majority of this country's problems would be either mitigated or eliminated, and we could have Congress and our state house and senators in session a lot less longer. We just don't enforce the laws on the books.
Texter writes, keep spinning, Tara. Trump won't broadly declassify files because he probably wants to swipe them clean first, protecting Don Jr. and Jared, concerned voter. No. So you got this all wrong. If there was anything untoward or even remotely implicating Trump, Don Jr. or Jared, they would have leaked it by now.
Oh, please. Absolutely.
They would have absolutely leaked it by now. You actually think. Have you been paying attention? The FBI is going to sit by when there's any damaging info about Trump and not leak it? Again, maybe in another time-space continuum, but not this
Mueller
one.
You think Mueller would have sat on any of that information if he'd come across it?
Oh, heck no. He would have leaked it immediately. That's what they do in violation of law. So no, those docs are clean. Trust me, we'd know the bad stuff that was in them. It would have long since been leaked to the Washington Post or the New York Times, but thank you for playing. So you probably heard about this week, one of the big stories this week. 30-year-old man, Michael Rotondo, ordered by a judge to move out of his parents' home near Syracuse in New York. 30 years old, has only ever lived away from them for about 18 months, during which he got a girl pregnant. Michael held a press conference after his eviction by the judge, which, by the way, he's appealing the eviction. So until that case is heard, he gets to live at home. Guess where he went right after the court hearing with his parents? Home. Home. Anyway, but not before having a press conference in which he deemed his parents' demand, and now the judge's, that he move out of the home outrageous. Outrageous, he said. Here's some more from Michael.
I'm not a burden to them in the home. They don't provide laundry or food. I just wanted, you know, a reasonable amount of time to vacate with consideration of the fact that I was not really prepared to support myself at the time where I was served these notices. I don't see why the judge wants to throw people out on the street. Well, we don't talk, we stay out of each other's way. There's been no instances of anything.
Well, he's not alone. Listen to this. In 2016, the Pew Research Center found that more young adults, 18 to 34, were living with their parents than with a spouse or partner. The first time that's happened in 130 years, looking at census data. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. And they're saying this, you know, turn of events is fueled primarily by the dramatic drop in the number of young Americans who are choosing to settle down romantically before the age of 35. As you used to be getting married and you got two of you paying the rent. Just one of you. And where are you? You're with mom and dad. The share of young men with jobs peaked around 1960 at 84%. 2014, only 71% of 18 to 34-year-old men were employed. This guy's unemployed. Partly as a result, median annual wages for young men plummeted over that period from $27,000 in 1970, that's in 2013 dollars, but it's in 1970, to around $15,000 in 2014. Wow. A lot of that's immigration, too, with those entry-level jobs being taken by legal and illegal immigrants. Do you see, if you look at all of the problems that, you know, wage-wise and all that, that this country has, you can track almost back, all of them back to the 60s, which is when we passed that immigration bill that really loosened our immigration laws. But anyway, there's something you can do to help poor young men like Michael Rotondo who just want to live with mom and dad a little longer, like say till they're 40 or so. Take a listen.
Did you know in America there are thousands of children over the age of 30 just waiting to be adopted? None of the hassles of preschool or heartache of potty training. Adopt a fully grown human male. For just $1,400 a month, you can adopt a 30-year-old boy, like Phil here.
Uh-huh.
He has no discernible skills, has never held a job, and he will never leave you.
No way.
Every adopt adult comes with his own Xbox and sword collection. Adopt adults also come with a 100% lifetime guarantee to never go outside. Adopt adult, don't make us put them to sleep.
I love to sleep.
I know you do.
Yeah, get yourself one of them. How many moments of pure joy do you have in your life? Just bliss. Or what's the stuff that makes you the happiest? Because that's what's makes life worth living. As it turns out, it's the simple stuff. The stuff that you don't have to have money to have access to. Take a listen to this. A new survey asked people how often they truly relax and forget about all the stressful stuff going on in their life and just enjoy themselves. Apparently, the average person has 432 moments of pure happiness in a year. That's about 8 a week. When those end, aren't you always like, oh, man. Gotta go back to the grind. Yep. Okay, now here's interesting. Okay, so what were the moments of pure joy that we enjoy the most in our lives? Number 10, singing along to the radio. Oh, yeah, good. You got a good song on, man. You get all pumped up. Number 9, playing video games. I don't know, but I'll take it. I don't play video games. Number 8, when you're shopping with a friend. Number 7, a movie night with your kids. Number 6, meeting friends out for drinks, watching sports at a bar. Number 5, when you're outside walking your dog. I don't know about that one for me, but okay. Number 4, when you're at a friend's barbecue, picnic, or house party, just generally, you know, chilling out with friends. Number 3, on a date, but only if you're already in a relationship. First dates are too stressful. Number 2, being on vacation or away on your way to your destination. And number 1, this is it for me. Hanging out on the couch or in bed with your significant other. It was the most common answer people gave. Isn't that interesting? There's no, like, high-dollar experience here, really. I mean, maybe vacation, but no, it's just the simplest stuff. When you finally sit down, everything's done, and for the moment, you could just relax, chill out, and hang out. Number 1, happiest moments of our lives. I just think that's fascinating. Happiest moments of people's lives. Number 1, just hanging out on the couch or in bed with your significant other, just vegging, doing nothing, watching TV. Those are my, I have to say, those are the happiest parts of my week. My husband and I have a faux date night Friday and Saturday night where we don't have any family in the area. And we don't want to hire anybody on account of the, you know, New York nanny axe murders. So, you know, because, I mean, they knew that nanny and she axed the kids anyway. So you can't have that. I mean, you can't trust anybody. So, I mean, you know, our kids have never gone with anybody who's not in a family. So we have faux date night, which is where the kids are not allowed to talk to us, like unless the house is burning down. And I mean, I'm not talking smoking. I mean, like actual flames. And so we do. I mean, so we get a glass of wine. We watch stuff. We hang out. We chill. Happiest part of my week. What's the happiest part of your week? You only get 8 moments of pure joy a week, you know. So, I mean, you know, that's not a lot if you think about it, but it's, you know what, it's what keeps you going. Texture rates. Huh, okay. If you think about it, well, this is on another subject. If you think about it, Tara, all of this diversity stuff started when Star Trek came into the picture. Oh, blame Star Trek. I'm not sure if I follow the logic there, but okay. Maybe you know something I don't. Speaking of all this diversity stuff, did you hear about this with the Boy Scouts? This is, like, you could, okay. You know, the World Boy Scout Jamboree is coming up. They have one of these every year. They have it every year. But this year, for the second year in a row, they have added a new request for whoever hosts the World Jamboree, where Boy Scouts from around the world meet up. You ready for this? That the host of the Jamboree provide condoms to all that are attending. Andy Chapman, vice chairperson of the World Scout Committee, said the co-hosts are working to implement that requirement previously laid out by the World Organization of the Scout Movement. The World Scout Jamboree organizing team has worked with the co-host countries to align these requirements. Talking about the free condoms for all, which have been in place for the past 2 World Scout Jamborees. News of the condom requirement comes months after the Boy Scouts announced it would allow girls to become scouts. I told you that's where they were going with this. Before you know it, the boy, because he's not going to be fair. She doesn't get the full Boy Scout experience unless she's in the same tent with the boys. And if she's going to be in the same tent with the boys, she's going to need a condom, right? Don't you give everybody a condom. Got to make it fair. Don't just give the boys a condom. What kind of message would that send? The World Organization of Scouting Movement Handbook, which lays out the rules for the World Jamboree, requires the host organization to ensure that condoms are ready and easily accessible for all participants at a number of locations on the site. Oh, by the way, the theme of this year's Jamboree, which will be held in West Virginia, is unlock a new world. Oh, this is a whole new world. John Stemberger, chairman of the board of Trail Life USA, an alternative scouting organization, which, by the way, does not require condoms at its get-together for everybody who participates, said it is, quote, not clear how far down the rabbit hole the Boy Scouts will continue to fall. he said. All of this should be deeply disturbing to the churches that are chartering Boy Scout troops, Stemberger said in a statement posted to the Florida Family Policy Council website. These policies present a clear youth protection problem. The BSA absolutely refuses to recognize the fact that they are requiring that condoms, and what is this, a jamboree or an orgy? Condoms be readily accessible and are communicating this to everybody, including the youth participants, shows that the BSA is both anticipating and facilitating sexual conduct between minors at this event. These policies are both outrageous and completely irresponsible. Again, that's the competing group, Trail Life USA, which some now join instead of the Boy Scouts. Texter writes, there's absolutely no way I'd let my child go to one of these gatherings. They're crazy. Another texter writes, one of my moments of pure bliss would be curling up with a good book. Yeah, that'd have to be number two for me. Love a good book. So hard to find one, though. There's so much junk out there. A texter writes, out of curiosity, how did you teach your kids not to talk to you on your faux date night? How did you enforce it starting out, they being so young? I'll never tell. Now, they can talk to us. They just can't hang out with us. You know, it's a date night. They know how it is. They know the deal. It's been that way since they were, you know, born, basically. A texter writes, my happy time is when I wake up every day and Donald Trump is my president. Yeah, I have that too. That's like number three for me. Texter writes, Tara, at what point did the left-wing nut jobs take over the Scouts? Was this a slow boiling, a live frog? Yeah, apparently. But, you know, before the frog dies, he does get a complimentary condom. So there is that. Texter writes about the Boy Scouts. Why do they need condoms? Are they going to use them to tie knots? Well, I mean, I suppose you could. I mean, don't ask me. I don't know. Texter writes, will the condoms have the Boy Scout logo on them? No, I'm sorry, Scout logo on them. It's not Boy Scouts anymore. They're just Scouts. No judgment about, you know, sex. I mean, you know, sexuality. I mean, like your gender. Texter writes, what kind of merit badge do you get for the proper use of condoms? I guess that would be not having a baby. Ah, boy. Texter writes, I support everything our president has done except for one thing. What happened? It looked like he was wearing a pair of glasses when he got his Jersey Shore spray tan yesterday. Yeah. Now the texter writes, I miss the good old days when you couldn't even say condom on the radio. I miss the good old days when they didn't give out condoms to everybody at the Boy Scout Jamboree as required by the, I don't know, handbook or whatever the thing is. Now, see, I run into this problem all the time. Yeah, and it's, I never, okay, when I started in talk radio, that's like, what, 10 years ago? It's more like 12 now, I think. I never did this. I never had to do this. I never had to, I have some of my best content I have to save until after 8. It's really beginning to grate me. Because I can't get my best content, my best content on in the early hours. I mean, that is, affects my ratings. Why? Because everything going on is so perverted, I can't tell you about it till the kids are out of the cars. Or I'll have a wholesale boycott on my hands. So I'm like, I can't even do half the show. I mean, the adult segment of the show used to be like maybe one segment. I mean, there was, you know, I never used to do it, but so much of what's going on now is just, it's profane. I just, anyway. So if you're going to the World Boy Scout Jamboree, you're going to, you know, have the condom bowls out. This condom's for everybody. So, yeah, you know, so let me know if those are a popular, you know, sort of side item there. I'd say to photograph the condom bowl. I guess, I don't know, what, are they going to have people around restocking them? I have no idea. Texter writes, if they read the handbook, they wouldn't need a condom. I'm afraid to read the handbook these days. I got to tell you. All right, coming up on the show, Dan Hamilton is running for Congress in District 4. We'll sit down with him in the next segment. If you've got any questions for Dan, text him to 71307. By the way, you got to see this on my Facebook page. You know what? I'll go ahead and share it on the Word page, too. It says everything you need to know. It is a picture from 2016 of our governor, Henry McDisaster, and he is at a Leatherman campaign event. That was the year he endorsed Hugh Leatherman, whose main charge that year was, you know, of course, hiking gas taxes. Well, anyway, McDisaster, he's at the podium, and there's a sign behind his head that says, Senator Leatherman welcomes Lieutenant Governor Henry McDisaster. And then there's a sign in front of Disaster that says, hashtag vote Leatherman, which says everything you need to know. He's one of them, not one of us, and he always will be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.